We have two New Testament readings this evening. Firstly, from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, reading from verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Paul is explaining to his readers how Abraham was justified through faith. Verse 13, it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We end our reading at the close of this fourth chapter. But I think there are some more particular reasons why we will find the study of Abraham's life useful and, I hope, interesting and profitable to us in our Christian lives. So I want to begin this evening by giving four particular reasons why the life of Abraham is an important one for us to study. And the first reason is the function which he fulfilled. The function which he fulfilled. By any standards, Abraham is one of the most important figures in the history of the world, even leaving aside the Christian faith. It's a simple fact that he is the founding father of three of the world's great religions: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam all look back to Abraham as one of the very chief figures, the ancestor of the adherents of those religions. We see that Abraham marks a crucial new stage in the history of the Bible. A few weeks ago, we were concluding our study of Genesis 4 to 11, and there, as it were, God was painting on a very broad canvas. We were looking at the whole of mankind, the whole of humanity. Noah saved the world the population of the world in the ark from the flood. We looked at the table of all the nations. We saw the building of the Tower of Babel. It has been a broad picture, a wide-angle lens. But now, and for the rest of Scripture, God, as it were, closes in. And now God concentrates on a single man and on his family and on his story. And the rest of the Old Testament is the story of the children of Abraham. He is also the key to understanding much of the New Testament. Apart from Abraham, large sections of the New Testament simply don't make sense. If we're not familiar with Abraham and his story, there are several chapters in Romans, and we won't understand what Paul is saying. We will not be able to understand parts of Galatians, or Hebrews, or James. In all of these New Testament books, the writers expound Abraham and his life and his experience, and they build what they have to teach us round Abraham. He is the key to understanding these crucial New Testament passages. Apart from Abraham, we will not be able to understand God's covenant of grace, which is at the very heart of the revelation of the Bible. We can hardly exaggerate how important Abraham is for understanding the Scriptures. He is an absolutely seminal figure. And Abraham is someone of universal importance. God says to him in Genesis 12:3, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so no one on earth can ignore Abraham and his function in God's plan. God is going to do something in this man's life which is going to impact every nation on the face of the earth, of how many human beings in history can that be said? How many other human beings have had an effect on every nation on earth? And Abraham is not just a historic figure, but he is a figure of great present importance. We read from Romans 4 where Paul says, Abraham is the father of us all. He is our father in the sight of God. Romans 4, 16 and 17. He is our father. We are literally the children of Abraham. People today are interested in their ancestors. They dig out their family tree. They look for their roots. They get these genealogical tables and try to find out as much as they can about their forebears. They draw up their family trees. Here is our spiritual father. He is our father in the sight of God. So as we spend the next few months looking at this man, Abraham, we're not studying some trivial figure. We're not studying some nonentity, somebody on the periphery of Scripture. We're studying someone who's at the very heart of God's covenant, God's purpose, God's salvation, God's plan, whose life is expounded over and over again in the Scriptures. He is a vital link in the chain of redemption. The function he fulfilled. The second reason why it's important for us to study Abraham is because of the faith he exercised. The faith he exercised. Here's a word that strikes deeply at our identity as Christians. We are men and women of faith. Without faith, we have nothing. We are saved through Christ by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. We live moment by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. It is by faith that we receive God's blessings. It is by faith that our prayers are answered. Our Savior says, according to your faith, so be it unto you. So at the beginning, the middle, and the end of our life, faith is absolutely vital. And yet faith is an abstract noun. And faith can seem vague and uncertain. And there are all kinds of faith. True faith and false faith, shallow faith and profound faith. How can we know what faith is? Perhaps the best way is to look at an example. At someone who actually is a believer. That's so much more helpful than an abstract theoretical description. To see faith lived out in flesh and blood. Medical students can study a disease in a textbook, and that has its place and its importance. But there's something very vivid and unforgettable from going round a hospital ward and actually looking at someone who is suffering from the disease that you're studying. And if we want an example, a living, breathing example of what it means to live by faith, we can do no better as we look at ordinary human beings than to look at Abraham. For this was the great characteristic of Abraham's life. You remember how again and again in Hebrews 11 the writer tells us of Abraham's faith. By faith, Abraham left his country for an unknown land. By faith, Abraham lived in tents in the promised land. By faith, Abraham became a father. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac. By faith, and Abraham belong together. He is the great example for us to follow. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul is writing to people whose faith is wavering and are starting to trust in works rather than faith. And in chapter 3, verse 6, he says to these people, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Those who have faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. So says Paul. Abraham, the man of faith. If we want to know what faith is, we can learn from Abraham. And he will show us, I hope, over the next months, what faith means. The nature of faith. And the trials of faith. And the testing of faith. And the triumphs of faith. And as we study his life, we'll see not just in theory, but in a real human being of flesh and blood, how faith incarnate is worked out in daily living. And as we learn from Abraham's faith, It should be our prayer that our faith will become stronger and deeper, and you and I may truly be more and more men of faith, women of faith. Consider Abraham, the man of faith. That's the person we're going to study. And then thirdly, we think of the frailty he displayed. We think of the frailty he displayed. This man is a giant, a spiritual colossus. He towers far above us. None of us will ever remotely approach Abraham in the glory and commitment of his faith. And yet giants can be a bit intimidating. And it's discouraging, isn't it, to have somebody set an example who is perfect. If you're trying to play the scale of C minor on the piano and learn to move round your thumb after the third note, it is not particularly encouraging if someone sits down and plays a Beethoven sonata, because that example is so far above you that you just tend to give up. And sometimes when you read the biographies of modern Christians, all their prayers are answered. All their activities are triumph. It seems to go from one glory to another. And you read them and I find it intensely depressing. Yet as we look at the life of this spiritual giant, this great example of faith, we will see that with the honesty of the Word of God, the Bible will show us a sinful man and an imperfect man. And we'd see that Abraham is not a super saint. We will see him going down to Egypt and behaving in an unbelieving, cowardly, selfish, and deceitful way. We will see him being feeble in the face of his wife's anger. We will see him treating Hagar and Ishmael in a very irresponsible and almost cruel way. Abraham could behave very badly. Abraham will lose the vision from time to time, and he will forget who he is and where he is going. This man of faith will occasionally be overwhelmed by doubt and filled with fear. This is a real human being, a man of flesh and blood, just like ourselves. And so we can identify with Abraham. We can feel a sense of kinship with him, of sympathy. Here is someone like ourselves. Who would you like to go to for advice? Supposing you were in difficulties about something. And you went to someone and they said, and you said, "I'd like your help." And they said, "Well, now before you begin, let me say that I personally have never made a mistake of any kind. I have never had any doubts or uncertainties or worries or anxieties. Now, how can I help you?" You say, "No, you can't help me." But if somebody can say, "Well, I've put my foot in my mouth a few times, I've made a few mistakes, I've been knocked down, I have been doubting, I have my share of failures," you're drawn to them. There's a sympathy. Here is someone who can understand. And that's the sort of person we have in Abraham. A wonderful example. A noble example. But yet, those marks of human frailty and weakness that remind us that he's a person like ourselves. And friends, it's also enormously encouraging, for God loved this man. And God forgave this man. And God blessed this man. He's showing us that God doesn't expect his people to be perfect. And God doesn't cast us off when we fail. He, as he did with Abraham, he'll discipline us and he'll refine us and he'll correct us, but he won't let us go. He won't abandon us. He'll keep us and he'll bring us to glory at the end. The function he fulfilled, the faith he exercised, the frailty he displayed. Then lastly, I think it's worth studying the life of Abraham because of the friendship he enjoyed. The friendship he enjoyed. One of the most beautiful phrases, I think, in the whole of the Bible comes in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, where God is speaking to the people of Israel. He describes them this way: "You descendants of Abraham, my friend." Abraham, my friend. And it seems that that is how Abraham was known to history. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 7, Jehoshaphat is praying to God in a time of danger. And he says, "O God, did you not give this land forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" And in James chapter 2 verse 23, we're told that Abraham was called God's friend. And so this unique title, so precious, so intimate, so glorious, is given to this man. What an honor. What a title to be given to any human being. Abraham, my friend. A friend is someone we love. A friend is someone we confide in. A friend is someone we spend time with. We'll see that God loves Abraham and God confides in Abraham and tells Abraham his secrets. God spends time with Abraham. Almighty God has said that of this man. Abraham, my friend. Today, in society, it's a great honor to be a friend of a football player or a pop star or a politician or a film actor. That's your only chance of ever getting into Hello magazine, if you're a friend of someone famous. Abraham was the friend of God. The greatest honor is for someone to be called God's friend. The wonderful thing is that that very special title is not limited to Abraham. For in John chapter 15 verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples and to all of us, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Perhaps that's the greatest blessing we can obtain from studying Abraham. We need friends in this world. It can be a lonely, heartless, cruel place. Here's a man who was God's friend. If God could save you and me tonight, put your name in, my friend. Abraham can show us how by God's grace we can become the friends of God. The function he fulfilled, a key function in salvation. This is a very, very important figure. The faith he exercised, a marvelous example of what it means to believe. The frailty he displayed, and the friendship he enjoyed. Pray for me as I prepare and preach these messages, and let's pray for one another as we hear them. That it'll not simply be something that interests our minds, but something that teaches us, touches our hearts, and changes our lives. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Thank you, O God, for placing within your word the inspired biography of your friend Abraham, for giving it to us in all its accuracy and perfection. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will take us step by step through the life of Abraham. Take us back to Ur and into Canaan, throughout the promised land. We pray, O God, that in these coming weeks and months, if we are spared to travel through these chapters with Abraham, that you will give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to love and wills to obey. Lord, that this may be an adventure in faith for us, that we may live Abraham's life in these records, that we may share many of his experiences, that you will use his life to deal with us and to make us men and women of strong faith, giving glory to you and knowing more and more your friendship. O Lord our God, help us to honor our spiritual father. Help us more truly to be children of Abraham. We ask it in the name of the Savior, whose day Abraham saw, and for his sake. Amen.